If you'd like to follow along this morning, we're in Joshua, chapter 2. There's an insert in your bulletin. You'd like to take notes. And for many people who are visual learners, it really become handy. I usually kind of cover a lot in the sermon. I don't expect everyone to remember everything, but hopefully to find something for you. And we have a very interesting personal study today. In fact, Rahab is a mom. She's the mother of Boaz. And she is not just listed in Joshua. She also is listed in Matthew. You can't get to Jesus, the lineage of Jesus Christ, all the way from Adam to Jesus, without going through Rahab. She's listed in Hebrews as in the hall of faith. And she's listed in James for showing us what faith looks like. All this is Rahab. So we're looking at Rahab this morning. Most of us know her. If you Google her and put Rahab the Wonderful or Rahab the Mom, you won't find her. Google knows her as Rahab the prostitute, or Rahab the harlot. And that is where we find her in chapter 2. I'd like to read it for you. Joshua 2. Then Joshua the son of Nun sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So I should probably put it here, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, we know that the Israelites were free from Egypt. They went to the wilderness. They went to the promised land. Moses sent in 12. 10 came back and said, if we go in there, we're going to die. We look like grasshoppers. 2 came back and said, Caleb and Joshua came back and said, the Lord has given it into our hands. They spent another 40 years in the wilderness, and now they're back here again. This time, interesting, Joshua just sends in 2. So they went, these 2 spies. And they came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. As you can see in this story, not only is she a harlot, she probably owns the house of, well, you know what I mean, the brothel. That's the word I'm looking for. She's running the show, okay? So this is the life she's living right now. And the spies, for some reason, chose to go there. Let's give them good motives, shall we? Maybe it's a good place to get information if you're a spy. Verse 2. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, bring them out. Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house. But they have come to search out the land. But the woman had taken the 2 men, Rahab, and hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. Just in that verse, we can see Rahab had 2 skills. And this is just the intro to the sermon. This isn't the sermon yet. But look at her skills. Not only is she running a brothel, she's good at hiding men and lying. That's what we see so far, because the king's men believed her, even though somebody saw him go in. So she says, yeah, they went their way. The men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. Verse 5, it came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, king, you king's men, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the ford, and as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now, before they lay down, the spies now, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, here's what I know. Right? I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And we have heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. We heard it. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. I'm going to pause there for now. This is not an Israelite. This is a woman in enemy territory. Now, we're going to talk about some deep spiritual things this morning, but just as a quick introductory point here, she's an enemy at this point. Sometimes our enemy knows the victory is ours before we do. These men didn't know. She knew, and she's part of the enemy. So, Out From Under the Past, we're in a series called Out From Under, and I believe God wants us to not be held under things, things that weigh us down, things that steal our joy, things that make us hide in corners, things that take away our personality, things that give us stress and anxiety and guilt. Christians, we have this. We have the answer to these things. They are ours. I'd like to look at some of those this morning. Now, maybe people here, maybe regular attenders, maybe you're visiting this morning and you feel like, you know, I just don't live the Christian life. You come here regularly, but you still feel like God can't use me. I sin a lot. I'm selfish. I'm not into being all religious and spiritual. I've done terrible things, unforgivable things. I have this past, and I hear this one a lot, and I have to pay for these things. God will punish me for these things. The first thing I want to say to you this morning is, you are a prime candidate for the gospel. It's the person who says, I'm a good person, I'm going to go to church. That's the one who's in danger. That's the one who's in trouble. It's us who say, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough. That's who the gospel is for. And the second part, you know, I need to work out this sin problem. God will punish me for my sins. Your sins do need to be punished. You have that part right. But someone was punished for them already. His name was Jesus. Don't take it away from him. It's all him. Completely him. Anyone here help Jesus on the cross? Nobody? Me neither. It's all Jesus. Let it go. Trust in that. That's the gospel. That's the most central part of the New Testament, and it's the most misunderstood thing. That's why we keep hearing people say, I'm not good enough for church. That's because we're not doing a good job of sharing the gospel. My vision is by September, by the fall, every person who comes here can at least explain the gospel. Because I believe God wants to use you. And I think he already is. Colossians 2:14 says, God, so he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Yet sometimes you go through trouble. So if you look at the first point on your insert, God is in our troubles. There's a little blank there, and I'm just going to tell you what it is. Difficulties are not proof that God has abandoned us. They're not proof of God's absence. In fact, you can read the scripture there. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Wow. In our troubles, let me paraphrase that for you. In our troubles, God is present. Are you going through troubles? You're not the only one. You're not the only one. We all are. Life is full of troubles. We forget this so easily. We think that the battles we're going through, the fights, and everything would decrease if only we were better, if we would do more, say more, serve more. Well, look at Rahab. In most cultures in this period, if you did something wrong, you were ashamed of your family. She probably was rejected by her family. We don't know what led her to be a prostitute, right? So she's had a rough life. This woman has had difficulties and trials. She is going through it. Our difficulties are not proof of God's absence. Maybe they're proof of something else. Maybe they're proof of something else. What else could that be? What else could that be? What could our trials be proof of? You know, the women's Sunday school class, and by the way, I mentioned the Bible studies. We have an excellent Sunday school program too. I'm going to point you to that. The women's Sunday school class was studying a book called Girls with Swords. And I was reading the first chapter, I think it's the first chapter, and she talks about how she sat down, talks about how she's trying to bond with her son. So she sat down, he was watching a movie, and it turns out she was watching Terminator. Her son was watching Terminator 1. Anyone see Terminator 1? Anyone remember Terminator 1? Sarah Connor. Okay, thank you. I need help. Okay. Sarah Connor's in Terminator 1, right? And she's just an average girl. She's struggling in life. She's a waitress. She can't find a date. Everything's going wrong in her life. And she's at work and she's looking at the news and it's showing all these women were being murdered named with her name. She's like, that's odd. Right? So, you know what? This is a terrible night. I'm having a terrible day. I'm just going to go out. So she goes out to some swinging dance place. And all of a sudden, the Terminator comes. And who is it at this point? It's Arnold. He's the bad guy in this one, right? He's the bad guy. He tears up the place. He's taking people out. He's knocking things over. He's got machine guns. He's shooting at her. She's like running for her life. And this, okay, it goes a little far-fetched, but hey, it made millions, so I guess it has something. People like this story, the good and the bad. But there's more to the story. Hold with me. So, another Terminator shows up, but he's the good guy. And he helps her. And he's like, come on, let's get out of here. He doesn't want to fight Arnold. Would you? No, let's get out of there. So anyways, this guy takes her in the car, and they're driving down the road, and she's like, what is going on? What did I do? Who am I that this is happening to me? Who am I? And the Terminator looks at her and says, it's not who you are. It's who you're going to be. Some of you are going through difficulties because the enemy, and we have one. If you don't know that, you have a huge disadvantage. If you don't know you have an enemy, that's a huge disadvantage. Your enemy knows, just like Rahab knew, your enemy knows that you are a threat to darkness and evil. You are. Well, I'm 90. Holy Spirit doesn't care. I'm only 15 or 18 or 20. The Holy Spirit doesn't care. You're ready for battle. Can I hear an amen on that one?
Amen.
Let's get motivated here. Look at, you know, all these troubles we go through. Look at Job. Look at Job's life. God was bragging about him. Look at all the trouble. Satan came in and destroyed everything. Moses, the birth of Moses. And why was Moses attacked? Why were all the babies killed and they threw Moses in a basket? You know the story? Because somebody knew what Moses was meant to be. Look at Jesus. All the children that were killed because somebody knew what Jesus was meant to be. You were meant with a purpose. Difficulties are not proof of God's absence. And B, the enemy doesn't waste bullets. If he's giving you trouble, it's because he knows more than you do about you. He knows more than you do about you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Come on. All right. So what? Here's all the time. Why are we here? What's our purpose? Why the troubles? Why the suffering? Why do we go through all this? Let me ask you a question in return. What keeps you from believing that you were meant that you're meant to have a great purpose? What keeps you from thinking that God can't use you? Well, I never walked down this aisle before. Hey guys, what keeps you from thinking, I'm not a secret weapon, I'm not a Sarah Connor? You need to pinpoint what that is. Because the Bible says differently. And it doesn't care about your age. The Holy Spirit doesn't care about your age. I mentioned that Rahab was in Hebrews 11:31. She was considered part of the hall of faith. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Rahab, let me ask you a question. When she did this, was she still good at lying? The story goes, yes. When she did this, was she still good at hiding people? Yes. When she did this, was she still a prostitute? Yes. And God used her. What makes you think God has got huge plans for you? This church, or your family, or your grandchild. Look, we don't change to get God's love and favor. It's God's love and favor that changes you. Will you receive it? But he doesn't love me. I'm not special. Look, Jesus' love language is the cross. He proved it once and for all that you are loved. Point three. God establishes our identity. Let's get one. God uses who we are. God takes us as is. You ever buy a car as is? Like, I bought a truck once, as is, the engine blew within a month. That's the way it goes. God takes you as is, and he makes sure your engine doesn't blow. He makes sure that you can do what he's called you to do. You know why? Rahab didn't lie. Because he's the God who parted the Red Sea. He's the God who killed the Egyptians. He's the God who created everything. He is not limited. God establishes our identity. James 2:25 says, and James is a good book because I talk about grace a lot and what God's done for us. It's all the cross. But James says, yes, but if you really have faith, this is what your life's going to end up looking like. It's going to look like Rahab. What does it say in 25, verse chapter 2? In like manner, also Rahab the harlot, was she not out of works declared righteous, having received the messengers and not by another way? She sent them out. Job is another one. He had a reputation in heaven. What's your reputation in heaven? I heard a story, Pastor Steve Furtick, I like listening once in a while. And I'm changing the story, but he tells a story of this guy who hated lines. Did you ever like make a decision to avoid a line? You know, or you're in line, then the cashier opens the one next to you and all the people behind you goes to it. You're like, man, right? This guy hated lines, right? So he goes to heaven and he wants to see Jesus. Anyone else? Is that the first line you want to get in, right? But it's like a billion years long, right? So he's like, hey, man, can you save my place? So he goes around, he's like, man, I wonder how John's line is. And John's got a long line. And he goes to John the Baptist, and, well, you know who's in that line? All the Baptists, maybe. Or he goes to Mother Mary, who's in that line? All the Catholics, maybe. I know, I'm picking on you guys, but I'm trying to have a little fun. He goes, you know what? I don't even know. My Sunday school teacher. talking about Rahab, that there's a legend that she's the most beautiful woman that ever lived. Where's Rahab? So she goes over to the gatekeeper. Where's Rahab the prostitute? I'd like to get in her line. And the guy says, Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the prostitute. In this book, Rahab the prostitute. Rahab. Oh, you mean Rahab the righteous? She was declared righteous. And that's how she's known in heaven. You know how you're known in heaven? In heaven, this church is beautiful. Amen. In heaven, you are Mike, Joe, Rob, Sarah, whatever your name is, the righteous. And God has plans for you. Is that my signal to end the sermon? What's point two? God is our purpose. God uses us as we are. God uses us as we are, not when we think we qualify. Thanks, honey. Sometimes we need to have heaven's perspective. The Bible says that angels stand guard over churches. We probably have angelic beings stand guard over a church. We have angels going, wow, am I going to hear true worship this morning? Am I going to have somebody accept Christ this morning? Just so excited about every decision you're going to make. Can we see ourselves from heaven's gaze? In the kingdom of God, your reputation is not defined by your past. It's defined by your faith. So in summary, God is in our troubles. In our troubles, God is ever present. And the enemy knows what you're capable of. And he will mess with you. God is in our purpose. God brought you as is. And he will use you as is. Now. Not later. And God declares your identity. In our home country, we are known as righteous. We are in God's families. We are warriors for what is good and right. Your past doesn't define who God does. Our past won't keep us down. God uses us for good. Amen.